Our scripture reading this morning will be Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these instructions. We thank you for your love and the wisdom that you have poured out to us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your law, for instructing us, Lord, in how to live our lives. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would help us now. Teach us, Lord, work in us these truths that we would know you better, that we would serve you better, that we would live for you. Lord, we pray you'd work this in us, that we would be on guard, that we would be strong in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we began this section on spiritual warfare. And I pointed out that this passage really refers to us as soldiers. We are soldiers. And I tried to emphasize the reality that we are in the middle of a war. It's a war. And really, as I continue to study and continue to live, this reality really just becomes more and more obvious. In some ways, because it's an invisible war, it can be easier for us to ignore or to pretend that it isn't really as serious as it is. But brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you that we are at war. It is war. It would not be correct to say, to refer to this as a sporting game or a chess match. This is war. This is war. This is so much more serious. In some ways, I wish for a moment that we could actually see with our eyes all of these demons and flaming missiles that are coming at us. That we could see them all as though in a physical sense. That we could see the temptations as arrows coming for us, aimed at us. That we might better understand and see really just the reality of the war that we are in. It is a battle. But certainly God has not seen fit to show us this in that way, and he knows best. But what he has done is he has given us his word. He's given us these instructions, these warnings here in this passage. The battle is real. The enemy is real. The threat is real. The flaming missiles are real. Temptations are real. this battle is so real. Just this week, I had another sobering reminder of how real this battle is. As I study and prepare and one of my favorite preachers and teachers, Stephen Lawson, John and I have gone to a number of his conferences, and I have gained so much and appreciate so much from his teaching. And it just saddens me this week to hear that he has fallen into sin. And he's been removed from his positions in ministry. The battle is real. The battle is real. I don't know the details, but his sins involve an inappropriate relationship. This news just saddens me so much. Certainly, I pray for him, for all those involved, for grace, for repentance. Really, the only reason I bring this up is because it's a reminder to you and I that this battle is real. The battle is raging. Spiritual warfare is real, and we need to be prepared for the battle. We need to be ready. In some ways, I'm really, besides being saddened, I'm really shocked in some ways, because he's such a pillar in the Christian community. But in other ways, it's not surprising. It's not surprising because the enemy is attacking. We are in a battle. The temptations are everywhere. Many godly men and women fall into sin. Last week, John mentioned David, his sin with Bathsheba. The battle is real. We need to take it seriously. What a blessing to have this warning. We can't let our guard down. Satan wants you to fall into sin. He wants to destroy you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to stunt your growth. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to remove you from ministry opportunities. He really wants to ruin you any way he can. We need to be strong. We need to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. As I mentioned last week, our enemy is stronger than we are, but we take great courage because we are not alone. We cannot walk this walk, we cannot win this battle without God and His strength. At every turn, we should be seeking Him more. Pursuing the Lord. We are no match for Satan, but Satan is no match for God. We're fighting an enemy that we can't beat ourselves. So we need strength and protection that is really beyond ourselves. We need Christ. We need to tap into His strength. Last week, along with that, we are not alone. We also looked at the enemy, the devil, all his demons and evil spirits. Verse 11 tells us that he is crafty and scheming against us. Our enemy hates God, in some ways, he really doesn't care about us in particular. He just wants to thwart the purposes of God, to disrupt God's plan. And so Satan wants to get you to sin. He wants you to disobey God. And so he attacks you with all kinds of temptations. Often it's a sneaky attack, just getting you to lower your standard a little bit. Just this once. He's really a master at camouflaging sin to appear harmless or even beneficial. You remember in Genesis 3, with where the serpent comes to have a conversation with Adam and Eve, and in that particular case, what was the tree? The tree was known to Adam and Eve as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it was known as in some ways as the tree of death. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. This was their view of that tree until this conversation. Once the conversation with the devil, and then we see in Genesis 3, this is verse 6, then we see how, what conclusion they came to, how they viewed this tree differently. After this short conversation with the serpent, then it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. You see where listening to the devil gets you? He takes what's bad for you, and he quickly makes it appear as something good for you. He deceives, he entices, he tempts us into sin. One point that I touched on last week that I want to speak a little bit more about is that our enemy, the devil, and his demons cannot indwell believers. Okay, Christians cannot be indwelled by the devil or demons. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So this battle that we're in, this struggle that goes on, these temptations that we need God's strength to resist, this is not a struggle with demons doing things within us, but rather a struggle with what they do outside of us as they present to us what is tempting, what is exciting, what is enticing to our flesh, to the old man, to our old nature, our old self. So this battle, this struggle, is a spiritual war where born-again believers, spirit-indwelled believers, are fighting off the attack of all of Satan's temptations in this world. This spiritual war, speaking of our struggle to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, to love what is good and right and holy, and not let our affections be attached to what is evil. And so our instruction is to be strong. Be strong. The attacks are coming. The temptations are everywhere. Be strong. Withstand the attack. Stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. And to do this, we need to put on the full armor of God. A soldier would not go into battle without his armor, and neither should we. You know, a soldier does not just wear his loungewear or his PJs into battle. No, he doesn't wear what he wears when he's at home relaxing. He wears certain clothing, certain pieces of armor that are all important. Each piece serving to protect and strengthen the soldier against enemy attacks. And so Paul here, he uses this picture of a soldier putting on his armor, getting dressed for war, preparing himself for the battle. And he uses this to teach us that we need to arm ourselves. We need to prepare for war with our spiritual enemies. Last week we looked at 10 through 12. This week I plan to look at 13 through 16. So the outline, the title, Be Strong, Part 2. We'll look at some of these pieces of armor. 4, truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, and faith. Now, verse 13, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So as we consider what it means to take up the full armor of God, I want to remind you once again of the difference from the first three chapters of this letter to the last three. In the first three, Paul told us our position in Christ and all the blessings that God has given us. Basically, he told us what God has done. That this is what God has done in the first three. And now in the last three, he's telling us what God wants us to do, how he wants us to live in light of what he has done. So, in other words, don't listen to this section here in Ephesians 6, this warning, and say to yourself, well, I have nothing to do. It doesn't require any involvement from me. This being strong, this putting on the armor, this is just what God will do. No, the context here is instructing us what we are to do. Understand, we need to be actively pursuing putting on this armor. This is a command for all Christians. Take up the full armor of God. It says full armor. It means all of it. We can't just pick and choose what pieces we like best. We can't leave anything off. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. You see, when we put on the armor of God, it strengthens us so that we can resist all these evil temptations that we will be bombarded with as Satan entices us and tries to get us to sin. And so we put this armor on that we would not be knocked around by the devil as we fall into his sinful traps, but that we would be strong, that we would resist the evil temptations and stand firm against his attacks. So number one, gird your loins with truth. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. So this is like a belt for a soldier. He would kind of cinch up his belt. He'd tuck in any loose ends of his clothing so that he could move freely and not get tangled up in the middle in his own clothes in war. But what is this belt of truth that Paul speaks of in spiritual armor? Well, our enemy is the father of lies. So often part of his attack is telling us what is not true, telling us lies. And so we need to be grounded in the truth. This is more than simply knowing what the truth is and believing it. This is really being committed. Being so committed to the truth that we're willing to stand for the truth in the face of great opposition. So the question is, how committed are you to the truth? How serious are you taking this war? How much do you care about what's true and right? You know, as long as I can remember, people have been trying to push evolution. In recent years, we've faced a push from all kinds of other perversions relating to marriage and gender identity. But these are just a few. There are many attacks that we face. So the question is, are you adamant about the truth? Or are you wishy-washy? If you don't know what the truth is, if you're not committed to upholding it, then you're weak and you're not strong. And the enemy is going to have his way with you. We need to put on the armor of God. We need to gird our loins with truth. So truth is so important. Our commitment to the truth. Number two, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate, another piece of armor for a soldier, often would be made out of some type of metal, not too heavy that he couldn't stand, but something that could be worn, that would cover his chest, that would cover his midsection, his abdomen. The idea is that this, all his vitals are under here, his heart, his lungs. You can take an arrow in the arm or in the leg, but not through the heart. And so you need the breastplate for a soldier. Provides great protection of your vitals, what's most important. Righteousness is an important piece of armor. I don't think the emphasis here is on the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us, although certainly this is part of it. But I think more specifically, this speaks of our righteous obedience to God, pursuing holiness, living in obedience to God, living righteous lives. Pursuing holiness, living in obedience. This is a great protection against the temptations of the enemy. Again, how serious do we take this battle? Obedience is important. Living rightly is important. Are you living righteous lives? Do we take our sin seriously? Or are you content to have some sin in your life? Do you hate your sin? Do you repent of it? Are you seeking to weed it out of your life? Or do you know it's wrong, but as long as no one else knows about it, you're happy to just try to manage your sin? Keep it around a while. we need to understand that this careless approach to our sin weakens our defense. It really just sets us up to fail and to fall into sin. In order for us to be strong, we need to put on the full armor of God. Pursue holiness. Pursue holiness and obedience to God. Righteous living is a part of that armor. Number three, the gospel of peace. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another important part of a soldier's armor, what he wears on his feet. What he wears on his feet. A soldier needs shoes, some kind of footwear that will protect their feet. How does the gospel of peace aid us in our spiritual battle? Well, the gospel really gives us confidence. It gives us confidence in God. In a similar way to what I spoke of last week, in that we are not alone. You see, the gospel is the good news that although we once were enemies of God, fully deserving His wrath, now because of Christ, because of the gospel, because of His sacrifice on our behalf, we who were His enemy, we now have peace with God. This is the glorious gospel of peace that took us from being at odds with God to now being on the same side. We have peace with God through the gospel. So God is no longer our enemy. Satan is our enemy. And the gospel gives us great confidence when we face the enemy to know that God is on our side. He is with us. We are not alone in this battle. This confidence is such a difference maker in our spiritual battle. Because we realize that we don't need to be running around scared of what the devil might be trying to do to us. We know that he is scheming. We know that he has every evil intent against us. He's setting traps for us that we are not aware of yet. But God is on our side. God is aiding and helping and blessing us. The curses and attacks of the devil are no match for the blessings and protection that we have from God. And all of this through the gospel. Through the gospel of peace that takes us, and instead of being at odds and fighting against God, we are together. God is with us in this battle. What confidence we can have. So what a blessing, what a confidence booster to have the peace of God, peace that only comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number four, then, faith. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Really, a shield for a soldier is kind of just an added layer of protection. I mean, they already have their body armor, but the shield keeps blows and arrows from even reaching that armor. Faith is such an important piece of armor for us. In the Christian life and in spiritual warfare, we must have faith. We must believe God. We must trust Him. This is huge. It's really the key to contentment. Do you trust God? Do you trust Him? Now, I'm not simply asking, do you believe in Him? Of course you do. But do you trust God that He knows what's best for you and He does what's best for you? Now, do you really trust God that He's doing that? You know, it's a very common tactic, if you will, a common attack of the devil to try to get us to be discontent, to lie to us, to entice us with this idea that there's something good out there that God is withholding from you. There's something good out there for you to enjoy, but God isn't giving it to you. You think of Adam and Eve, and you know, instead of focusing on all of the trees of the garden that they can eat freely from, instead of focusing on that, Satan points them to the one tree that they're not to eat from. He attacks them with this idea that God is holding out on them, that there's something better for you than what God has for you. He's not giving it all to you. The idea that you can't trust God to give you what's best, and so you should just go get it yourself. This is his lie. This is his temptation. Let's look at one more example of this. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're not going to read all of this story at all. It's a very familiar story. John spoke of it last week with David falling into sin. Here we see David falls into the sin of adultery, and I'll just read the first four verses here. This is 2 Samuel chapter 11. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. So here David is faced with a temptation. And we see that he falls into sin. And not only adultery, but then also murder as well. But consider, in the next chapter, listen to what Nathan tells David. At the end of, first he goes through this story to help David realize his sin. And so I'm gonna read 7-9. So Nathan then said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel." So listen to what God has to say to David after this, his fall into sin. He says, "It is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. So what is God telling David here? He's telling him, I have given you everything. I have blessed you abundantly. Why did you not trust me? Why did you not trust me? Why did you think that I was withholding something good from you? I love that part in verse 8 where he says, and if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. It's almost as if God is saying, if everything I gave you wasn't enough, why didn't you ask me for more? I would have blessed you even more. But no, instead, you took what was not yours. You didn't trust me. And you took what wasn't yours, what I didn't give to you. Now, we don't see any reason here to believe that David went out onto this rooftop looking for trouble. I don't think he was looking for sin. But he found himself tempted. He saw Bathsheba. And instead of fleeing that temptation, he pursued sin. He pursued it. And in that moment, he believed the devil's lie that God was withholding something good from him. He believed Satan. He didn't believe God. Faith is such an important part of our armor. We must believe God, that He has our best in mind, that He is giving us what is best for us, that His laws and His rules of what He has commanded us not to do is for our good. He is not withholding these blessings from us. No, He is withholding these curses from us. Don't believe the devil's lies. When we lack faith, we will believe Satan's lies and will fall into sin. We must have faith in God, that what He has for us is what's best for us. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, the spiritual battle is raging. We need to take these things seriously. We need to be strong in the Lord. We don't know when or where these attacks may come. We must put on the full armor of God, that we will be able to resist all the evil temptations that the devil will send our way. So today we saw the importance of being committed to the truth. Righteous living, pursuing holiness, taking our sin seriously. The importance of having confidence in God. Thanks to the gospel, we're on the same side. We are not fighting this battle alone. And we need to have faith that God's ways are what's best for us. We can trust Him. So may we gain strength through these tools that God provides. You know, we're all tempted in many different ways at many different times. Different things are tempting to different people. Maybe lust, maybe greed, any number of other sins that we're tempted to disobey the Lord. But we must be strong in the Lord. We must constantly cling to Him. Again, as I said before, this isn't something that you can just say, I trust Christ. I've put my faith in Him, and so I'm good. He'll just take care of it. I'm not going to worry about these things. And by all means, we're not talking about Satan stealing us, snatching us out of the Father's hand. You're not going to lose your salvation here. But we need to take this battle seriously. We are called to take up the full armor of God, not to sit back. If our attitude is to sit back, guess what? We'll lose. We'll lose. We'll fall. We need to stand firm. And where does our strength come from? From the Lord. This is a constant battle that we need to constantly be seeking the Lord, getting strength from Him. It's such a battle, and what a blessing that God has given us all these tools, if you will, to fight, to resist these evil temptations that we have. Again, God isn't wanting to remove us from all these temptations, but to strengthen us through it, to walk with us through it, to help us through it, that we can have victory in our lives, not falling into sin. Yes, for our good, but also for His glory. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank You for these reminders, for these warnings, Lord. Lord, we thank You that although our enemy is attacking us, Lord, we thank You that our enemy is no match for You. We thank You that You are constantly feeding us and strengthening us. Lord, we pray that You would give us a hunger and thirst more and more for You, for Your righteousness. Lord, that we would see our need more and more to cling to You, to be rooted and grounded in Your Word. Lord, that we would love what You love and hate what You hate, that You would give us eyes to see Satan's lies as he tempts us, that You would give us strength, Lord, to overcome, to resist the temptations. Lord, give us self-control. Lord, we pray that You would work these things in us, that You would help us not to be lazy. Lord, that we would be pursuing You more and more, that we would be encouraging each other, lifting each other up. Lord, greater men than I have fallen, we pray that we would be humble and mindful of our vulnerability and cling to You all the more, the source of our strength, our joy and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.